Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Now, we've been considering the Christian home, and a harmonious Christian home is based upon a harmonious marriage relationship. And as Brant and Dowdy say in a new book that they have out, Christians Have Troubles Too, the ingredients of a satisfying marriage are compassion, respect, admiration, trust, faith. Comradeship deepens as the couple share in making decisions that weld them together. But teamwork always involves leadership. Now, we noticed last week that the Christian home is a fellowship based on love and obedience. And we notice that the prime responsibility is given in the Scripture for wives is that they be subject to their husbands and that they respect their husbands. And now today we turn to the responsibility of the husband. Verse 25 of Ephesians 5, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, that he might present her to himself a glorious, radiant church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and without blemish. These three verses give us the pattern, the example, the love and relationship between Christ and the church. Now the next three verses give us the reason or basis for husbands to love their wives. And notice what they say. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Let's continue to the end of the chapter. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Then in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 19, we read, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. And then in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them, that is your wives, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Going back to Ephesians chapter 5, let's think for a moment of the distinguishing characteristics of Christ's love for his church. Because the first words we read in verse 25 are these, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church. Christ's love for his church is a peculiar love. That is, it's a special love. He has called us His peculiar, and that's an old English word, which means that He has called us His special treasured possession. And that's the way a man should feel toward his wife. That she is His special treasured possession. Not in the sense of which you own an automobile, however. Because she is a human being and she is His wife. But rather in the sense in which Christ loves the church. Second, Christ's love for His church is exclusive. She is exclusively His and belongs to no one else. And I think it's wonderful. It's tremendous. It's beyond comprehension that the Lord Jesus Christ should come to this world, become a human being, and that He should go to Golgotha and there be crucified and die for us. Think of it. Think of the love that He had for us in doing this. And Christ ever loves us and gave Himself freely for us. Don't forget that. His love is a continuous love. That He might purchase us to be exclusively His. And a husband should think of his wife as being exclusively His, because that's what she is. She belongs to no one else. Your wife belongs to you. And you ought to consider her as yours in a very special way. And Christ's love for the church is an intimate love. So much so that she is His body, far more intimate than any other part of His creation. She is spoken of as being His body. And a man and wife joined together are one body. This is an intimate relationship. Very intimate. And another distinguishing characteristic of Christ's love for His church is that it is delightful. She is the special object of His delight. Now, these four things I got from a man by the name of Hodges. Peculiar, exclusive, intimate, and delightful. And I trust that your wife is the delight of your heart. That she is indeed delightful to you. Then things are as they should be. Husbands, love your wives. In what way? As Christ loved the church. And what did Christ do for the church, His body? The church, you know, is composed of all believers, those who trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, going way back to the day of Pentecost and until the Lord takes His church home to heaven. He gave Himself for her. That doesn't mean that He was willing to die for her. That means that He did die for her. He truly died for you as an individual.
on Golgotha's tree,
suffering for your sins there in his own body on that tree. He shed his precious blood to cleanse you from your sin. But he died for the church as a whole. He gave himself for her. And a husband should not just be willing to die for his wife. That isn't what it's talking about here so much, I don't think. But rather that, as McRae says, the husband brings his wife and lays it at the feet of his wife and gives his life to seek her very highest good and that which is best for her. He already has died for her. He lays his life at her feet, so to speak, that he might seek her highest good, that which is best for her. Of course, this doesn't always mean that she gets her own way. Maybe what she wants would not be good for her. And it's the husband's responsibility before God to determine what is good for her. And he may sometimes have to say no. You know, this would have been one of the hardest things in my life, to say no to my wife. There have been some occasions when I've had to say no. I'm sorry, but I believe that God is leading us so-and-so. And that's difficult. It's far more difficult than saying no to our children. Now, he gives generously. He gives himself to her generously. We read in Romans 8:32, "How shall not God with him freely give us all things, or generously give us all things? Since he gave his son for us, how shall he not with him freely, generously give us all things?" And this is not speaking so much of things that can be bought with money, I don't think, is it? It's thinking of the things which really count. Like a man on KOA in Denver used to say on a farm hour, at the close of the hour, he would say, "Be sure to take time for the little things in life that don't cost money." And I knew a man that was on the program with him and intimated that he might be a Christian. "Be sure to take time in life for the little things that don't cost money." What is it that a husband should give to his wife generously? Well, I would say himself. He should give himself to his wife generously. He should spend time with her. So many marriages fall apart because husbands and wives do not spend time with each other. They allow, sometimes even, the service of the church or God, for God, to keep them from spending time together. Of course, my wife and I have had a special privileged life. When I was in veterinary practice, she took care of the office for me. When I came home from making a call, I reported to her, and she told me what was waiting and what needed attention. And since we gave up practice and have been trying to help people in the work of the Lord, we have done it as a team together, largely serving together. And I consider that we're highly privileged in this respect. But spend all the time you can with your wife. She needs you, and you need her. And he gives freely, Now, marriage is not a 50-50 proposition, you know. We sometimes hear that marriage is a 50-50 proposition. It's not. It's a 100% proposition. You give yourself to your wife 100%, whether she's worthy of it or not. How about with Christ in the church? Was that a 50-50 proposition? He did it all, didn't he? He went all the way to Calvary for me. He's the one that did everything. All I had to do was just to receive Him and say, "Thank you, Lord." And this is the example that we have given to us in this passage, so we can't pass it up. When Cyrus was king of Persia, and Cyrus was known as a good king, he had a general whose wife was convicted of treason. And as his wife stood before Cyrus, convicted of treason and sentenced to die, his high-ranking general came up before him and he fell down on his knees and his face before King Cyrus. And he pled for the life of his wife. And in his pleading, he said, "Let me die in her place and let her go free." Cyrus' response to this was such love, ought not to be broken on this earth. And he set her free. The husband and wife walked out of the courtroom, arm in arm. And he turned and said to her, "Did you notice the gleam of delight in King Cyrus' eyes when he set you free and restored you to me?" You know what her response was? "I had no eyes for the king. I saw only the man who was willing to die for me." I don't think it'd be hard to love a man that fulfills the requirements of this passage. Do you? And I'm not setting myself up as one who has. Please don't think that. Now it says that he might sanctify her. When we study the scriptures, we must notice the words very, very carefully. None are there just to fill up space. Each word is pregnant with meaning. That he might sanctify her, that he might set her apart. Set her apart to himself. Christ set his church apart to himself and himself alone. A husband is to sanctify his wife, to set her apart to himself, to claim her for his own, and to take steps to make it so. We can't go into details because there isn't time. This is a big subject. One could spend hours on it. And the husband is also responsible to set apart his wife to the Lord. He's responsible for her spiritual life. To make her holy. The words sanctify and holy are similar or same words. And we have the word holy again in verse 27. And the word holy means different. And in the Hebrew, it means healthy. You have to think about those. She is different. I look upon my wife, if I look upon her properly, as being different than any other woman in the world. And it's a healthy situation if she's set apart to me as her husband and to me alone. And if I look upon her as being that. And then it says, and cleanse her with the washing of water through the word. This is what Christ has done for and is doing for the church. And this is what a husband must do for his wife. He must cleanse her with the washing of water through the word. And this requires that husband and wife read the scriptures together. Not once in a while. Every day. Study the scriptures together. Meditate upon them together. Pray together. Spend time together before God. And I like to tell young couples who are going together and considering marriage, do everything you can together that's right. And especially read the scriptures and pray together. Start doing that when you're just keeping company with each other. On your first date, if you wish. And on every date after that, if possible. And if a young man and a young lady will read the scriptures and pray together, and let that be the development of their relationship before God and with each other, then they will learn something of what it is to become one spiritually. And spiritual compatibility in marriage is the first and most, by far most important compatibility of marriage. And I put physical at the bottom of the list. Though it's important. Then it says in verse 27 that he might present her to himself a glorious, a radiant church. And you know, usually if a husband loves his wife like the passage here is instructing him to do, she will be radiant and glorious, not having spot, stain, or wrinkle. There'll be so many things that have to be ironed out. They'll already be ironed out, won't they? Or any such thing. But that she should be holy and without blemish. Husbands, this is your responsibility for your wives. It's your responsibility to take the spiritual leadership in your home. If you aren't doing it, why not? Maybe some changes need to take place in your own heart and life. And then some changes can take place in your home. Now going on quickly to verse 28, men ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Why? Because she's a part of him. Verse 31 says, a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined, united unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. They're one. So he loves his wife as he loves himself. It says no one ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it even as the Lord the church. And this word nourish is an interesting word. To feed, to care for. Because you remember that in the Old Testament, when Joseph brought his father and brethren into Egypt, during that time of terrible drought, it says he nourished them there in Egypt. A husband is to nourish his wife. This has to do with both her physical and spiritual needs. He is to feed her. He is to take care of her. Physically and spiritually. And then he is to cherish her. And that literally means to cuddle her.
Or to warm her, as the Hebrew gives it.
Yes, husbands,
it's your responsibility to cuddle your wife. And to warm her.
Is her heart warmed when you come home from work? Just the very fact that you walk in the house, does that warm your heart, your wife's heart? It takes time to do these things, you know. And it takes the right attitude toward her, doesn't it? An attitude of real love, of really cherishing her. You know, what we spoke about last Sunday sometimes produces rebellion in women. You mean I must be subject to my husband and obey him? Yes, that's what the scripture says. And you know that that's far easier than the responsibility which God lays upon husbands. Authority involves heavy responsibility. I'm glad I'm not in President Nixon's shoes. Not because of Watergate either, but because of the heavy responsibility he has. We have a responsibility, husbands, before God in connection with our wives. In connection with this word cherish, in 1 Thessalonians 2:7 we read, "But we proved or became gentle among you as a nursing mother tenderly cares for her children." And that word tenderly cares for is nourishes her children. And you know, I can't help but think of when we were in Guatemala and a lady would come in with her little one, or usually it was more than one little one, and her husband usually with her, and the husband would talk to the doctor, and he'd be the go-between between his wife and the doctor. And then maybe the little one needed a shot of long-acting penicillin, and that hurts. That's painful. If you've ever had one, you know. And the doctor would have to give this shot of long-acting penicillin in the leg, and the little one would start crying. And what did the mother do? Immediately she took her breast and gave her breast to that little one. And the cry stopped. And there was real comfort. I saw this happen hundreds of times in Guatemala. And it deeply touched my heart. And you'll pardon me for using this illustration. This is part of life.